Morning again. If you will, join me in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'm sure your pastor will say the same thing when he comes back home, but your brethren in Kingsport send their love and greetings. It's always my honor to be asked and come to preach the gospel anywhere, but I definitely have a special place in my heart for you. Pray the Lord might bless us. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now before I go on, I want to say a few words about our sister Mary. It says, thou that art highly favored. I'm going to tell you what my center margin here says. It says that means graciously accepted or much graced. And that just makes me rejoice. People twist that so badly. She was graciously accepted. She didn't accept Jesus, the Lord God of heaven and earth, in His mercy and grace, covenant of grace. He accepted her. When also looking up that meaning, it says, pursued with grace. Oh, I love thinking about that. He pursued her. God pursues His people, and He's going to have them. Every single one of them. He said, not one shall be lost. Mary, I just referred to her as our dear sister, and praise the Lord, she is. But she was only a sinner saved by grace. That would have been her story. It's all God's people's stories. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Much like Noah found grace. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now we're not going to read it, but we just read she was a virgin, and later she said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? Okay, that right there tells us what we're reading. This is of God. It's God. All right. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, my soul. What a salutation. What a declaration. Title of my message, He Shall Be Great. What a subject. The greatness of our Lord. Now I've got 4 points I want us to go through. His person, His name, His work, and His glory. He shall be great. Now here in Luke chapter 1, the Lord is not the only person we read of who shall be great. Look with me at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Zacharias, the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, my message is not about how John and the Lord Jesus Christ were both great men. That's not my message. I think you know that. See, John was a great man, but his greatness was a totally different kind of greatness compared to our Lord's. Now, John was a great man indeed. You think of some brethren you read about in the Bible, you think how you just can't wait to have a conversation with them. John's one of those men. The man ate locusts. He lived in the wild. I can't imagine. He was prophet. He's the only preacher we read of other than Christ himself who was prophesied of in the Old Testament. It's amazing that God would be pleased to speak of John as he spoke of him. And we just read he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. We also read that when he was a baby in the womb, when the Lord sent Mary to tell Elizabeth of her salutation, it says that baby leapt in her womb. That baby rejoiced in the womb. That baby heard something from the womb. Oh my. Our Lord said this about John. Among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. He was great in the sight of the Lord. The Lord used him greatly. But I love this. That verse, Matthew 11:11, goes on to say, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I just mentioned a few minutes ago, contradictions, right? He shall be great. There's none greater than John, and yet he's the least. How can that be? I'll tell you how. It's very simple. Just like Mary, he was graciously accepted in the sight of the Lord. God in his grace pursued him, chose him, saved him in Christ. We're one in him. We're not better than each other. We're all the dust at his feet. We're going to sit at his feet. We're going to worship him. John was a sinner saved by grace. Great in the sight of the Lord. But I promise you, he was not great in the sight of John. And many people rejoiced at his birth. Yes. All the people that heard him preach Christ, that followed him as he preached Christ, they rejoiced over John. But they rejoiced over John's message. Not in John. We love each other. We especially love those who preach Christ to us. But we love them because of Christ. That's the only thing lovable about any of us. Christ in us. John said this in John 3:30, speaking of Christ. His followers that went with him as he preached, they came to him and told him, as if he didn't know, that men were coming to this man, Jesus, and being baptized of him. They were following him. They weren't following John. They thought he'd be so upset. Oh, they just... kind of like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were so upset. They crucified her. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. But John turned to his brethren. He told them several things. But then he said this. He said, he must increase. Okay. But I must decrease. I think that calmed their troubles. He must increase. I must decrease. John came with a message declaring Christ. He was prophesied of that he was going to prepare the way of Christ. He was going to say, here comes Christ. I was born just shortly before him, but he's coming after me. But he's preferred before me. He preached Christ. I mentioned earlier, we're not pursuing our own glory. John wasn't pursuing his own greatness. He was sent declaring, and he was honored and rejoiced to declare the greatness of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was a great man, yes. But the first glaring difference in John and Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ is God. He's God. Look at verse 31. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. John wasn't the Son of the Highest. John didn't have throne. John didn't have a kingdom. Praise God, he was a part of the kingdom. Praise God, he's seated around the throne now with Christ, reigning in him. We said we're kings and princes with him. But that baby that Mary gave birth to, God Almighty. That's what Simeon said, wasn't it? He said, I've seen God's salvation. It's no ordinary baby. Y'all are rejoicing with us over our baby. We're so thankful. Wonderful blessing. But this baby was God. Is God. I'm not going to try to explain that. It's a mystery beyond our human comprehending. But God became a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But you know, in Him was grace and truth. There's no grace and truth in this flesh. I don't know. He's the only begotten of the Father. There's just one God-man. There's just one. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of the Highest. I think Nebuchadnezzar, when God saved him, he said, the Most High God. King of heaven and earth. And you hear people say sometimes, make him king, make him Lord. He was born king.
That's right.
See, a body was prepared for him. Where it says God created man in his image, God was a man first. That body was prepared from eternity. Then God created man in his image. And then we corrupted ourselves. And then Christ came. Oh, praise God, Christ came. Born king. He has an eternal kingdom. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. People in John 6, I believe, they started following him and he was feeding them. And they said, we're gonna make him king. It wasn't long after they were offended at the hard saying and they went back and walked no more with him. Our Lord's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. And he reigns over that kingdom right now. And he shall reign over that kingdom forever and ever. And I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? I'm glad right now. You know what? We're in an election cycle. We all have hopes and whatnot, but King's heart's in his hand. It's already been appointed. We may get upset. So be it. Let's trust the Lord. We don't know what's best. He does. He's our king. There's our hope. He's our king, isn't he? Our only king. I know I've mentioned this before, but our Lord, He's not who we naturally think He is. He's not who this world thinks He is. He's not a beggar. That's such a terrible way to speak of Him. And I know no one would ever hopefully say those words and mean it, but they clearly declare that's what they mean when they say who they think He is. Wants this, hopes this, tries this, working on this, waiting on this. No, He's God. He has His way all the time. He always will. He can't not have His way. He's God. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let God. I think there's a verse that says let God, but I believe it says let God be magnified. There's a big difference in that. Let God have His way. God will be magnified. He will. He will. You think about when the Lord was sleeping on that boat and they got caught in a storm, the disciples, and oh, they were so afraid. They just knew this is it. We're sinking. I guess they might have forgot. We're with Him. He's on this boat. We ain't going to sink. That ark, it didn't sink, did it? They're safe in the ark. And they went and they woke up their Lord and they, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Save us, help us. Oh, you little faith. Just like that. at the sound of His still small voice. Peace, be still. said there was a great calm. We were at the beach a week or so ago, and it was pretty windy the first few days. There were some big waves coming in. They were coming a lot closer than we wanted them to. And I couldn't make it stop. I could say peace be still all I want, but it only makes me look like a fool. The wind and the sea obey Him and only Him. He has all power. All power is given unto Him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Familiar couple verses, Hebrews 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. I think this chapter goes on to say, the Father said to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's God. He's the very image of God. The express image of His person. He's the glory of God. The brightness of God's glory. And His name. His name is excellent. It's more excellent than all the angels. We just read about one angel, Gabriel. His name is more excellent. More excellent than all the angels. And that leads me to our second point. His person is great. His name is great. Let's briefly consider His name. Jesus, Savior. Savior. What a name. He's worthy of that name. He has earned that name. Call His name Jesus. He shall save. And turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. I can't talk about His name without looking at this blessed verse. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Don't you love what His name shall be called? Wonderful. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? Wonderful God. Oh, to tell of His wonder, His wonderful works, how could we? We're going to fall short every time. I'll read you a verse. Isaiah 25 verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. He's done wonderful things, hasn't He? You know, people, the false preachers I've talked about, it in Matthew 7, we read what they're going to say in the judgment. Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in Your name. You know, people will say in Jesus' name or in Christ's name, but they have no idea how great and wonderful His name really is. And we know that because the Lord said, you're going to say it in My name, but I'm going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, they came boasting their wonderful works, not His. He's the only one who has wonderful works. He's the only one who has anything wonderful about Him. He's the only one. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I just read His counsels of all that are faithfulness and truth. Sometimes people go to a counselor. They need help. And if you do, that's okay. Don't be ashamed of it. I get it. The struggle is real for me too. We have problems. But who do we go to? When we get down to it, who can help us? There's only one. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our counselor. He's our help. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. I mentioned that baby in Mary's arms and Simeon's arms and Joseph's arms, that baby was God Almighty. Selah. God Almighty. The Everlasting Father. The three in one God, but yet Christ, three separate persons, yet Christ said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, we're one. We're one. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I said it earlier, He's our peace. No peace in this world. Don't look for it because there is none. Don't worry yourself, you're not going to find it here. You're going to find it here. Christ is our peace. Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let me ask you a question. Is the name Jesus Christ great to you? Does the sound of His name bring you joy? Is that an excellent name to your ears? Look here with me, Malachi 1 verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, we see who His name is great to, don't we? The Gentiles. The dogs. Truth, Lord. The heathen. I remember in college, some of my coworkers, religious, they mentioned a statement about the heathen, and it was a holier than thou type statement. Who are the Gentiles? Who are the heathen? Who are the ungodly? Well, based on this verse, I hope it's me. Otherwise, His name's not great to me. We don't need to be proud of who we are. You know, that's the message being told around the world right now. Be proud of yourself. Oh, no. Like Job, I repent in dust and ashes. I loathe myself. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? It takes the Spirit of God for us to truly believe that about ourselves. Most people would say, no, I'm not a heathen. I'm not that bad, or I'm not bad at all. But if we're going to be saved, we must be brought to realize that's me. That's exactly what thou worm Jacob. And we read, he shall reign over the house of Jacob. We must be able to identify with Jacob. Jacob's the Israel of God, the chosen of God, His peculiar treasure, His chosen people. We must believe ourselves to be nothing before Him. But here's the fact of the matter. We will not believe ourselves to be what God declares us to be until we come to know the greatness of Jesus Christ. I think this scripture fits so perfectly with this. Isaiah 6. Turn with me to Isaiah 6. When the Lord spoke to Isaiah, when he saw who God is, let's see what happened. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And look where he saw him. Sitting upon a throne. Reigning. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now notice, here's the angels. We just read about the angels. Okay. Verse 3. And one cried unto another. The angels were crying this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, here's what Isaiah had to say, woe is me. Woe is me. For I am undone. Center margin says, cut off. I'm cut off. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That right there is somebody who has been shown the King. That's someone who has been, who has seen a revelation of who God is. Not the God of their imagination. He saw the King. He said, mine eyes have seen the King. He said, even the angels cried, holy, holy, holy. Even they covered themselves before him. Even they were ashamed to be in his presence. How much more us? He said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm undone. If we ever see the King, I mean the King, high and lifted up, that will be our cry. May God show us the King. We see enough of the rulers in this world. We need to see the King. We need to see the King. Mine eyes have seen the King. If we ever do, we'll rejoice at the sound of his name. Oh, we will. We'll love to sing songs of praise to him. Come thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise. Oh, help us to praise him. We know there's no other name, is there? No other name whereby we're going to be saved. No other name. No other name with power in it. There's power in that name. No other name like his name. There's a lot of songs we could quote here, but the one I've got is Precious Name, Oh How Sweet, Hope of Earth, and Joy of Heaven. He's going to be the joy of heaven. It breaks my heart when people talk about what they think goes on in heaven. Heaven is Christ. Heaven's just looking at him. Just beholding him in his glory. Just seated at his feet, covered by him. Just looking at him. Singing to him, worshiping him. That's going to be our eternity. Oh, no more sinfulness and foolishness of me trying to get up here and talk about worshiping him. We're actually going to worship him. Oh, His person is great and his name is great. Third, his work is great. Matthew 1:21. I know most of you probably know it, but it's always good to see it again. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Center margin says Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's my favorite shall in the scriptures. There's a bunch of them. And I love them all. But none compare to that. When he shall save. Not he might. not he's going to try to save. Not he's going to make it possible for them to be saved. He shall save. He shall save. What a hope. What a declaration. Oh my. Do you need to be saved? People say, well, saved from what? What do you mean be saved? I feel safe. I feel saved. Do you need to be saved from your sin? He shall save them from their sins. And that's more than what we do. It's what we are. We've done abominable works, but we are, present tense, abomination. We just are. And there's nothing we can do about it. The leopard can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. We can't do good. We're accustomed to doing evil. It's all we know how to do. You say, well, we go to church. I have for years. I've been in church my whole life. We're just worse. We only get worse. We don't get any better. I mentioned Paul. Paul, he was nothing. He was the chief of sinners, less than the least of all saints. Wretched man. Sin. God has concluded all under sin. Period. But praise the Lord. Christ came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. That's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul said. And we say, nope, that's me. Nope. You know what? There's a bunch of chiefs of sinners. Every single one of God's people is the chief. I say, well, one and the same. We're the chief of sinners, but we're perfect in Christ. Saved in Him. Every soul for whom Christ died shall be saved. I was going to turn, but in Zephaniah 3, we're told a little about our Lord's might and strength. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will save. We read in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail. That's a good shall too, isn't it? He shall not fail. He will save. Praise the Lord. Now, when our Lord came to save us, we know the moment of our salvation, if I can put it that way, which we've been saved from eternity, but he saved us by his death, okay? At the cross. What really happened at the cross? What really happened at the cross? Who was that man hanging on the cross? Our brother couldn't have picked a better text to read. Can't find him. Our substitute. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about. Our substitute. He bore our sins. Bruised for our iniquities. Wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was despised and rejected of men. We didn't esteem him. We turned everyone our own way. We all went astray. And yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All for whom he came to save. Every sinner who needs a Savior. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I'm not even going to mention what I have written. That chapter just sums it all up. What happened at the cross? Salvation. Nothing short of 100% perfect, complete, satisfactory salvation. Eternal redemption. Perfected forever. Complete in Him. Oh my, what a salvation. What a God. What a Savior. His person is great. His name is great. His work is great. And because of His great work of salvation that He accomplished at Calvary, His glory is great. So great. Psalm 21:5 says, His glory is great in thy salvation. He's our glory, isn't He? All of it. I mean, all of it. Look with me here, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what Christ did. He did nothing for himself. He did it all as our substitute. He did it all for his people. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. For him to even become a man was humbling himself. Okay? Being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of who He is and what He did, God hath highly exalted Him. Oh. May we likewise highly exalt Him. That's the whole theme of this message. He alone deserves to be exalted. I need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that all the time. We love self-exaltation, don't we? We love compliments and praise and all that. Flattery. May we exalt Him and only Him. If God has saved us, we're not going to glory in ourselves anymore. Or when we will, God will correct us. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Paul said, Christ is all and in all. All in all. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Call His name Jesus. He shall be great. I pray God has enabled us to get a glimpse of the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.